Welcome to Postcast. David Locke along with Ron Boone after the Utah Jazz. Just I got blasted, I guess, but it didn't feel the same. Oklahoma City, Ron, really felt like the Jazz got blasted. Tonight felt like the Jazzers weren't very good. I mean, I don't want to – I'm sure there's – you know, I don't know what it's like to be an NBA player going against another team who's trying to beat you, but they lose 104-83 tonight. The game's tied at 11, and just nothing the Jazz did seem to have a force. The word at practice almost the entire time from Quinn Snyder was force today, force, and they don't play with a lot of force tonight.
There was no fight at all, and when you don't have fight, when you're not – the energy's not there – especially collectively from everyone, then this is what you get, a very boring and a slow-paced basketball game to the point where it seems like it gets worse, especially when you're not making any shots. And I thought that the Jazz could have done a lot better, I think, with their offense that they did tonight.
And our Facebook Live has decided to go vertical, even though we weren't. So, you know, it's really just going to be – I'll have to hold the camera. You know, right. Nothing went right tonight.
No, I guess not.
All right, so let's go. The second quarter is where it really gets ugly. They score 14 points. They shoot 4 of 18. The two, you know, easy answers, we shot too many threes. The exact opposite is true. They were 4 of 22 on twos. On twos in the first half. What's going on offensively in that stretch?
I think, as I mentioned during the ball game, those dribble handoffs and the pace and the speed that they use with those dribble handoffs are just not working right now because they're not doing it with the force, as you just mentioned. And I know teams are going, they're switching, but it doesn't matter. If you're setting a good screen and you're switching, sooner or later the defense breaks down and you're going to get a chance to break the paint. We just don't see that. We've seen the ball stop, I think, in the last two or three ball games more so than we did when it was on that.
So you just said it, but let's go to it. What is the contrast to when they saw this team playing similar defenses to Denver? Denver's not a great defensive team. Or in that streak where they won, I think, 9 of 11 without Rudy, to the difference between what you're seeing with the ball right now. What's the difference and why? And what's taking place there?
Well, the difference is, again, if you're this dribble handoff that the Jazz use, and Mike Malone pointed out before the ball game that the Jazz do that more than any team in the league. How much did we see that tonight? We just didn't see enough of it to the point where we're getting those uncontested shots. This is not a team that makes shots off the dribble as great as some of the other teams in the NBA. You just use the Denver Nuggets as an example. So that type of offense is what's more effective and probably the strength of this basketball team. And if they're not doing that and the ball stops and it stays too long, you're putting yourself in a short clock and it's just not working here for the Jazz.
The failures of the offense are going to overshadow the fact that the defense was not very good either for much of the night, and the road defense has been poor all year long. The Jazz are the number one home defensive team in the NBA, but they are 27th in the league defensively on the road. What do you see differently defensively?
You know, some teams think that, okay, on the road we want to slow it down. At home we want to speed it up. And maybe, you know, that's what the Jazz are doing right now, because I don't think they're running or they're not playing with a pace, a tempo like they play at home. Sure enough, you're at home, you're more comfortable at home, the fan support that you have there, a big play gets the fans excited, you get excited, and it seems to work for you. I think the Jazz being shorthanded, and we just are not making shots, man. Joe Johnson is struggling. Alec Burks now is starting to struggle. We're just going to have to do better.
All right, great question just came in from Tyson Tanner. Donovan Mitchell usually takes over and attacks at the end of games, but is passive at the beginning. At times when he hardly touches the ball for long stretches, is that him or Quinn running the offense? I can't see the rest of the question, but we get the idea of it. What's your thoughts on that, Ron?
I thought at the beginning of the year that Donovan was getting used to whoever was defending him, and he figured it out, and he got stronger toward the end of the basketball game. I would like to see him get started a lot earlier in the contest there as well, and maybe that's something that Quinn's going to – that's a great point that he's just making up, that he just brought up, and maybe that's something that Quinn will point out to him. He has to get started earlier, because what does Rodney Hood do when he comes in the ball game? He's coming in the ball game, and he's thinking about scoring.
So – Talked to Donovan today about how different the defenses are against him recently, and he talked about that it's just way different, the focus. It's clear he's the number one guy in the scouting report each and every night, and he said that what's difficult about it is there's no common thread to how they're defending him. This is up at, if you want to hear this, it's at LockedOnJazz.net. He talks about that some teams are denying him, other teams are doing this, and so I think what we've kind of figured out is he's trying to figure out what they're doing with him, and then as he figures it out, he moves forward. Tonight, he never had a real spurt in this game.
He really didn't. He didn't really go to the basket really strong, maybe until later. We watch practice. We watch him how he prepares. We don't know what was going through his mind here tonight, but he just didn't get off to a good start.
Neil Ackerman says, Rubio seems like he's a disaster. Is that what the analytics say? That seems a little harsh, but 1 of 8 is not great. He did have 7 rebounds, 7 assists. He was minus 16. Some of the analytics that in the past on Rubio have been so great, which is how the team plays when he's on the floor, defensive analytics when he's on the floor, those have not carried over yet from him from Minnesota to Utah.
David, I think if the Jazz shot the basketball better tonight, then Rubio would have looked better there as well. I mean, 7 rebounds and 7 assists, that's not shabby. He didn't make very many shots there as well, and probably didn't look to shoot as much as he did the other night against the Oklahoma City Thunder. But I think if the Jazz shot the basketball better, then he would have looked a lot better here in tonight's game.
Robert Ruby wanted the failure resulting game after game. Jazz have lost 9 of 11. Should the lineups continue to stay the same, or should the changes be made? I mean, the biggest change is, remember, Rudy Gobert's not playing.
Right?
So, like, let's not forget that here. That stretch we had where we won without Rudy Gobert, I think we tried to say, hey, this is good. It was a little fool's goldy. Now we're playing the top teams in the league. Denver, I think, is either fourth or fifth in the West, and they're the least good team we've played in a while.
Right.
So I think that, a little bit of the lineup change is that you've really got to get Rudy Gobert back and figure out who you are before you go and dismiss somebody else along the way.
And then you look at Joe Johnson, who comes back off an injury and really not shooting the basketball, not the way we're so accustomed to watching him shoot the basketball. Jarepko having to go to the center position because of Rudy being out. And, I mean, just so many different things that are going against the Jazz right now. We just need – how about Neto? I mean, Neto was starting to figure it out and was getting, and now he's not on the floor. Just haven't had a full roster all season long. And I know that's we can use that as an excuse considering the way the Jazz played so well without, a few of those guys. But as you mentioned, now we're playing the top teams in the NBA. And when we struggle against the top teams in the NBA, we look worse than what we really are.
Remember that this month was a month where if we did everything well, we thought that the Jazz might go 5-15 in the month. That was before the season started.
Yeah.
Then Gobert goes out and they're 4-13 or 4-14 now in the month. I don't know that they beat Golden State or Cleveland. And so it definitely feels harsh, but look back at who they've played. This is not a stretch we expected. Bill Holt with a very important question. Why is the exit sign behind us backwards? It's not, actually.
No, it's not.
And that blows my mind. I don't know.
It does look backwards, doesn't it?
I don't know.
It's not.
Let's see. They're talking amongst themselves. Nice comments from Taylor. We have some nice comments about our broadcast. We appreciate that. Thank you very much for those. Kelly Espinoza points out Rudy hasn't played that great this year, and I think that's a fair comment. Rudy has not been as dominant. This team just has never found its groove to who they are for the season. I think that's a fair comment. With the injuries, some of the pace they want to play with Dante got eliminated early with that injury. Then Rudy wasn't as strong. The Rudy favors Rubio, had a hard time scoring. Then they kind of found their groove. They lost it. Rudy and Quinn pointed out something I think that's worth noting as well here, and this is obviously coaches believing they have an impact. But Rudy gets hurt in Boston. Okay? Here's the sequence we do. We win the game. We play the next night in Cleveland. You either based on collective bargaining agreement or just out of common courtesy to players, do not practice the night after back-to-backs, okay? So it might be collective bargaining agreement, actually. So then we had a day off. We played Houston. We did not practice in Oklahoma City on the back end of that road trip. Came back to play a back-to-back. Don't practice on the 24th because it's a back-to-back. 25th is Christmas. Play today. This team has not had a practice since the day we flew to Boston after the Chicago loss.
Yeah. Schedule has a lot to do with the way you perform. Now, let me point this out. You know, this is a team with the makeup of this team and how it's developing and how it's put together was going to fight for the seventh and eighth spot probably for the playoffs. This is not a basketball team that can afford a lot of injuries. And so right now I think that's what we're seeing. I mean, to a point where you struggle offensively and especially defensively without Rudy there. So this is a team that's can score, can win basketball games, but we have to fight to do it.
Final question from Mark Bryson. Is there a player leadership issue? No one on the court leadership. Sometimes Mitchell takes that role, but asking that of a rookie isn't really fair. And I think I don't usually buy into those kind of things. But the minute I read that question, you think about it, Hayward was your best player. George Hill was your most vocal player. Rudy was the piece. He's not playing. Favors is in kind of an unclear position of where he is, and he's really quiet. Donovan has got a line where he's probably got a dance upon where he doesn't want to be overbearing. So I don't say that I think there might be a void. I think that might be a fair comment to just kind of where the roster is and the transition out of Gordon Hayward into the pivot, into the new, where the franchise is going.
Yeah, and even Gordon wasn't what you would call a real strong leader last year. So we haven't had one of those in a few years. Now, Donovan, I would imagine this time next year will be a strong leader for this team.
And let's remember also that when they were winning 9 of 11, we weren't answering these questions. We thought the leadership was great and all the veterans. So just make sure we understand it. And I think the other one that's worth taking a look at, by the way, is go back and look at Portland and Damian Lillard's rookie year, where they had some pretty good players, LaMarcus Aldridge, Wesley Matthews, Nicholas Batum, and I think they won 33 games. Like, you have a rookie as your primary guy, it's hard, and Donovan's not responsible for tonight's loss at all, but that is a hard phenomenon. All right, hey, we thought we'd take an extended one with you tonight after this loss. Thanks, hope you're having a happy holidays. We'll be in Golden State tomorrow.